Hello, you have tuned into ET Markets Investor's Guide, a show about asset classes, investment ideas, and market trends. I'm Nikhil Agarwal. If you're not a senior citizen, the maximum interest that you can earn from a fixed deposit at SBI is not going to be more than 5.4%. Analysts say PowerGrid InvIT IPO can give 10 to 12% dividend annually. Now that would be double of what the SBI FD pays. But before you invest your hard-earned money in the IPO, let us first understand what exactly is an InvIT. Is it like any other stock? In today's special podcast with independent market expert Rajiv Nagpal, we discuss the pros and cons of investing in InvITs. Welcome to the show, Mr. Nagpal. Can you explain what is an InvIT and how is it different from an REIT or a regular stock?
See, stocks are very different. I mean, stocks are not even comparable. The comparison has to be between InvIT and REIT, Real Estate Investment Trust. Now, the basic difference is that of the underlying asset which is going to generate the rental income or the income which is supposed to be distributed to the unit shareholder. See, let's look at the basic concept. What is the concept is that, let's suppose there is a huge building. In case, let's first go to REIT. There's a large building. It has its, you can't go and buy a piece of that building. What you do is a company comes out with REIT and says that the rental income which will this building is going to generate will be distributed among the people who are the unit holder. We are going to come with an issue. You can buy, the unit of this particular REIT, and the rental income would be distributed among these people, all the unit holders. Now, in case of InvIT, what happens is there is a, instead of a real estate project where there are strict guidelines of commercial and, other things, investment is essentially into, let's say, an infrastructure project, like a, it could be a gas pipeline, which probably over the next couple of months, we are going to see a couple of InvITs coming in from oil companies who have huge infrastructure pipeline, which have a, annuity kind of income. And that can be converted for unit holders. And then you have power transmission line. Then you have roads for which InvITs can come. So infrastructure project which generate a regular kind of an income and which is distributed, that is InvIT. Whereas in the REIT REITs, the underlying asset is only real estate properties, which is very different. The cash flows of REITs are very different. The cash flow of infrastructure projects are very different. The risk associated with a REIT are very different. InvITs are very different. REIT has a basic risk is that suppose there is a huge office complex, which is there, an IT park for which, let's say five IT park combined together, a REIT has come. Now, suppose there is another IT park which comes to the next to those, all those five. And the rental income, the guy who has brought in a new, building reduces the rent. So the existing tenants will say, you please reduce our rates also, otherwise we'll move to the other building. Now, so the rent will be reduced. So the income which is available for distribution to the unit holder for this rate will get reduced. So whereas you take the case of, transmission pipeline, or an oil pipeline. Oil pipeline, it's not that, another company is going to come and build another oil pipeline with an existing one. But the other issue is that if suppose the consumption of oil during that, but or the refining capacity which was there gets reduced in that area, the use of that pipeline is reduced, then the income can get affected. Well, in reality, InvITs have given the way, in infrastructure requirement is there and there is a little probability of a duplicacy in that, the probability is low. But there are other risks, like, some expansion might get halted because of, environmental concerns or some litigation can come in. So there are different kind of risks which are involved. So the returns are also literally very different, in these kind of InvITs and InvITs.
Are InvITs suitable?
There is essentially a difference. This needs to be taken into consideration by the unit holders who are planning to put in money into them.
So are InvIT suitable for all types of retail investors?
And largely, say it is one. You can't say that nothing is suited for everyone, in the sense that if there is a retail investor who want to diversify his exposure in the debt segment, see, largely I would consider them as a debt product, with a chance that there could be some little appreciation. So it's some part of the portfolio should be there, where there is a different, you know, like in a mutual fund, you should have a balanced fund also. Mm-hmm. Probably it's good to have some REIT in your portfolio. But see, there are risks, like, you know, what has happened is that after this pandemic, a lot of tenants have started, you know, this work from home concept. Initially, it was expected that a large number of REITs would get impacted, because a lot of companies which kind of either are, you know, renegotiating the rentals on the downward side, or they are saying most of our offices, our guys are able to work from home, so why do we need that kind of office space?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, these kind of risks are there. So a retail investor who does not want any risk, for them there is a pure debt instrument product which is good enough. But there is a little element, because there is always a higher return on the risk you are taking. If there is an arbitrage, you have to take difference between what is the risk-free return in terms of the return on the G-Sex or fixed deposit, which people normally invest, and the returns you are going to get on the InvIT. So there is you have to see that this is the extra which I am going to get, but there is a certain amount of risk involved.
So it's very interesting that, you know, you said that you would consider InvITs as a debt product, but it's traded exactly like the way stocks are, almost the similar way, right?
Yeah.
So can InvITs be a good alternative to bank fixed deposits, given the fact that the current interest rates are so low?
No. See, I'll tell you, theoretically and for all practical purposes, it cannot be. Because I just explained to you, you know, there is an inherent, in case of fixed deposit, of course the returns are low, but there is no risk of a capital getting eroded. Mm. But in case of REITs, there are chances that, you know, I mean, even if it's, let's say, 1%, but there are chances that, you know, you can see erosion of the value of the capital itself. Because suppose tomorrow, as I just explained to you, that in case of pandemic, if some of these buildings have no tenant, what does one do?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there are some, you know, risks. They can't be compared, actually, fixed deposit. But surely, we'll have to look into our Indian context. Whether, you know, we are at a stage where REITs and InvITs have just started to come. Mm-hmm. Globally, they are huge markets, and they help unbundle the assets, increase the productivity of the capital. If you look at the infrastructure which some of the PSUs have, the kind of annuity income that generates, some of the road assets which NHAI has, REITs are going to come probably over a period of time. You will see many, many more REITs issues and InvITs issue, which are going to become popular. So then, probably over a period of time, when the systems are... See, as far as law is concerned, I think the regulator has done a decent enough job of ensuring that there is a skin in the game of the promoter. It should not be the case that after coming out with the REIT and the promoter loses the interest. So that kind of things have been taken care of as now. But to compare this with that, I don't think so. You know, that would be actually the right thing to do. Because, see, if there is higher return, there has to be an element of risk.
Mm-hmm.
See, it's like, you know, when people talked about credit risk funds in some of the mutual funds, people went in assumption that, you know, it's a debt fund, so at least my capital is protected. But there have been instances where in debt funds also there has been a hit on the capital itself.
Right.
Because the underlying asset where the money was invested defaulted, those papers defaulted. Mm-hmm. So to say that these are equal, I don't think so.
What are the risks of investing in an InvIT? Can liquidity also be a concern for, you know, InvIT investors, since it is traded in lots?
See, as far as Indian markets are concerned, if you look at the history, whenever there are an financial instrument is introduced, for a couple of years, there is always a liquidity risk. If you look at even at the ETFs, which have been in existence for a pretty long period of time, even in there, except a few which you count on fingers, not many ETFs have a very high liquidity.
Mm-hmm.
So liquidity initially is a risk, but given the fact how this industry is going to develop, this financial instrument is going to develop, the probability is that liquidity risk will not be there after a couple of years, because for two reasons. One, more and more people would move into investing and will take exposure.
Right.
So as more retail investors come into market, or even institutional investor come into market,
mm-hmm.
in which the ownership of InvITs becomes a broad base, then we are going to see more transactions. So liquidity risk will surely go over a period of time. The other risk is that of the underlying business itself as a risk.
Mm.
You see, if there is a transmission line where the state electricity board has said, okay, we are going to give you this kind of money for your usage of your this thing, your infrastructure. Now, few years down the line, that price, let's say for some reason, that is revised downward, either because of competition or for any XYZ reason, the reason it is revised down. So there are business risks associated with InvITs. But as far as these technical risk of liquidity and everything is concerned, these tend to get fine over a period of time. Let more players come, let more players get listed. And I think given the fact that there are, at this point of time, there are taxation advantage to some of the funds, foreign funds which are going to invest. See, taxation issues have been sorted out for InvITs. So that is a good thing. So I'm hoping that over a couple of years, these things will also not be there at this point. And another thing is that I think REITs will become more popular initially. But if you look at the return and the sustenance of that, over a period of time, InvITs are bound to become, you know, one of the essential part of having in one's portfolio, because obviously they're going to provide a higher return as compared to the risk-free return, which is going to be prevalent at any point of time. So, because that is what the essential aim of the person who's setting up that, you know, project is concerned, that it has to earn more than a risk-free return. So these, some of these risks will get sorted out over a period of time. Not much thing to worry about if someone is, you know, you can't, you know, if somebody is thinking that I'm going to start trading in InvITs, then probably it's not a place for him. Then one should not do it at this point of time. Maybe a decade down the line, probably you might be able to do.
Thank you, Mr. Nagpal. That's all in today's special podcast, but keep checking this space for more such interesting content. Goodbye.